Hey guys, thanks for attending. Yesterday I gave a talk about CalcLang. This talk will be different. And yesterday's talk was in a JavaScript dev room. It was more about interacting with numbers and workings and formulas, and sharing numbers and workings using CalcLang, facilitated by this diagram, which I went through. The important thing is to know about this is CalcLang is a language for calculations. It doesn't do other things. Like, to do things with numbers, you got to use another language, and you call numbers from CalcLang rather than re-implement them. This makes CalcLang simple and focused. We just write pure functions or formulas from spreadsheet parlance. And I talked about this in terms of these aims. So shareable and communicable, so we're encapsulating numbers. We have a thing we can share. And it doesn't have programming mixed in there. Transparent and verifiable. These are things I spoke about yesterday. Today we're going to, this talk will be more technical. Yesterday's talk was more interactive. Today I'm going to focus on this, flexibility and reusability. So we have a language that's just for calculations, and I'm trying to develop a language which is flexible so that calculations can be reused. So we look at an example which is from, you can find this example on calclang.dev. You're a shop, you buy something for some price, you sell it for some price, hopefully higher. You've got some level of fixed expenses, you've got some number of units you buy and sell. And we have these formulas. So first of all, we have the separation of concerns. Over here we have these formulas. Sales is units times sales price. Purchases is units times purchase price. Profit is sales minus purchases minus expenses. And over here, for these inputs, we have results for these formulas. So this side is calling results, is calling numbers from here rather than recalculating them. And as a little aside, I'm just going to point out, if you did this in a spreadsheet, depending on how you design it, you've got like one layout. Your layout decisions are made when you key in the formulas. But just to show you, like, we have separation so we can control layout. Here we're looking at sales prices in one value. It's a range of values. We put it on a x-axis, and we didn't need to change anything to do with the calculations. So the calculations are free from layout. And coming back to properties by CalcLang to make it flexible. First of all, this isn't like the code that I showed yesterday, the CalcLang code. So I'm hiding some things, so I'll unhide them for you. Okay, so these are the inputs. And this is a convention to describe an input. The CalcLang can understand it's an input. It's a function mapping onto the same name with underscore in. And so we have a convention to describe inputs. But we have these inputs up here, so I'm just going to get this out of the way. And we export const everything in CalcLang. That's a rule. So that's redundant. So let's get rid of that. And that's, here are the formulas that we can focus on. Now, I said some things about CalcLang code yesterday. First of all, that it looks like JavaScript because it's based in JavaScript and it compiles into JavaScript. So you get a JavaScript bundle or ESM at the end, which is just got pure functions in there. In theory, that's portable. And second thing I said is that functions and, sorry, there's only two primitives in CalcLang to know about, which is formulas and inputs. So here, expenses is an input, units is an input, and these sales, purchases, profit are formulas. But all of them are implemented as functions. So we call units like it's a function, even though it's an input. And fourthly, everything is a function, which is a nice uniformity. it's good for refactoring things. So if units becomes a formula later, which is a hint about what we'll do next, then there's no refactoring. But we also, we don't populate these brackets. So that's something the Calculand compiler does for you. So it will analyze how inputs are used and will populate those brackets for you. So it will thread inputs through all those brackets. You can see, in this case, it's the only thing that the Calculand compiler does. You can see the output here. So it's just looking at where inputs are used and building a tree, which you can see down here. Like a little bit of graph theory, a little bit of logic. It knows that sales depends on sales price and units. Profit depends on all of these things, and populates this. Now, this isn't in order to make numbers or formulas concise. It's in order to make numbers flexible. So that, supposing we're looking at different sales price here, but all it's saying is that if you have a higher sales price, you're going to make more money. If we're thinking about changing our sales price, we might actually want to create a constraint, a demand curve. So new requirement, let's see how that's implemented. I'm going to turn on inputs so you can see what happens. Units is an input. With a demand curve, units is a formula. Nothing else changed. We didn't need to refactor where it's used. But there are changes in the JavaScript. So now purchases depends on sales price and purchase price. Previously, it depended on units. Now units is determined by the sales price. So that's an example of input inference. So Calculand will infer inputs and populate them for you, so you don't need to manually thread things. You can build functions which depend on inputs in complex ways. Basically, you've got this flexibility to create cheap inputs and change your models and your calculations. But there's something happening that I did here that I don't like, which is I copied all these formulas. And this would be nicer or neater if we didn't need to do that. So this is the same thing. Nothing changed over here. This is the same thing, just modular. So we have a file, a calculating file, which is importing calculations or functions from the original shop model. So this is the original. Exactly what we saw at the beginning, units is an input. But it has a different definition. It has that formula for units. And effectively, this is a way that you can say, I want these calculations, but with these definitions. So Calculand gives precedence to what you define closer to the entry point, closer to the root, then closer to the actual calculation. So you can change how calculations work when you import them. Now, in practice, you can see examples where I use this on calculang.dev. I indicate with this icon that modularity is being used. So yesterday I looked at a savings calculator, which estimates for some interest rate, for some amount you're saving, it estimates an amount that you will have at the end after 5 years. You can change these things in the savings calculator. But interest rate might not be a thing that is fixed. So as time goes on, you might find, interest rates can change, we know that. So you might want to analyze how your original calculations you might want to update the original calculations and analyze the gap between what you actually got and what you expected to get. Here we're doing that analysis for 5 different years. So we're getting 5 different sets of results. And There's no copying of code. We're reusing the same savings calculations. We're updating that in a controlled way by making interest rate something that depends on a new input cutoff for actuals, and it uses either expected or actual. So there are analysis we can use the properties of modularity input inference to make our analysis more contained. Like, what I like about this is we've got one place where savings calculations happen, we've got one place where reconciliation calculations happen. All the logic is segregated. So other places where I use this, I made a pension calculator for some calculations in Ireland, and it's work in progress and lots of disclaimers on it. But I try to show people the value of pension tax relief, at least pre-retirement. And so you've got a pension calculator, but you want income tax calculations. So rather than like put income tax calculations into the pension calculator, we use modularity, just call reuse formulas. Down here, just to structure some of these things better, I use modularity. And this one was my first test of modularity in Calculang. It's a model which calculates around every year around September, October, there's a budget in Ireland. The government changes tax rates, and on the radio, lots of people are talking about this change causes this impact on finances. This lets you change those things and see an estimated impact on government finances. And it doesn't. There's no copying of. There's no two copies of the calculations. It's just reusing calculations. Last thing I'll briefly touch on is, we have separation of concerns. That creates an issue for Calculang, because you need to make a thing on the right-hand side there in order to see or do anything with Calculang, with the numbers that come out of Calculang. So CalcuVizSpec is a very rough visualization API. It's based on this, which is like brilliant. But it lets you map formulas and inputs directly to visual channels. This is a presentation I link in my abstract, where you can see examples. There are code blocks here. We're passing in a model. Input cursors are values which don't change. We pass in a mark. We want bars. You say on the x-axis. You want different months. So you can pass inputs in with a domain. So in a declarative way, you can make visualizations of your numbers that come out of Calculang, which is not prescribed. Calculang isn't opinionated. You can use anything you want. This has many disadvantages, but it's a way of using this. I'm starting to use this closer to the metal because this is far more powerful, but it's very important to have a quick way when you're developing a model to get numbers out and see them. That's one thing to help to develop things for that right-hand side. So that's me. That's modularity and some of the technical details about the language, and one way to visualize. I won't go through this, but you can see examples and look at that code for different visuals. Any questions?
No, then you can set up. Any questions for the speaker? Yeah.
Syntax for Calculang is JavaScript. Do you think it would be helpful to have, let's say, a more human readable syntax?
Yeah, definitely. In the medium or long term, yes. It's got developer experience overall. is not something I put a huge amount of attention on, but over time, of course, I will. And because you're writing the formulas in a kind of declarative way, they're kind of light, and there aren't too many different things to know. I said there's two primitives, formulas and inputs. That, to me, I think it's like conceptually simple. So the developer experience and some things about performance are hard now, but I think the conceptually can be much better. And I showed you there's redundancy in the code that you're writing. So that is an issue that we can address in the future.
What I really like is that there's no servers involved, right? It's all client-side.
It's all client-side, but that stuff is... You need to run a compiler on your machine currently. It uses the Node API. I use Webpack and Babel to make the thing, but... That will change.
You can publish it, right?
Yeah, you get a bundle that you can publish. We will have a standalone calculang for certain sometime soon. But I think the blocker for developers, you know, probably isn't just running on your local machine right now. I had a link to calculang.party. It's a channel on Matrix. You can join and talk more. And if people want to contribute something for a community gallery, because that would be a nice next goal, then, yeah, talk to me and we can try something. Things is typically good at are educational things or things that are simple, because computationally, just to make sure it works.
Thank you.
Thank you.